Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Unchurched Live. It is a no-holds-barred spiritual conversation for the seeker and the skeptic. I'm your co-host, Michael D. Teague. You know what my media name is, Finesse, and I'm here along with my co-host, Dr. Stephen E. Gardner, and we're glad to be here. Dr. Gardner, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
I'm all right, Doc. I gotta start this again. Ooh, what did I do? Hold on, let me click out of this. Uh-oh. Doc, was something I just did, which I don't want to do. I'm just going to see if I... Okay, we're good. So everybody know why... We're live. Yes, we're live, but nobody has signed on. Let me see what's going on here. Let me see what's going on here, Doctor.
Yeah, we're live.
Okay, we're live. All right. I didn't see the little green dot. So we are live. I almost ended the broadcast. So everybody,
let me see what's going on here.
Okay, we're good. All right. We're live. And let me just do this. So everybody, we apologize for that almost serious mistake, and I'm going to what threw me off, Doc? I still don't see. I'm going to share this with you because I gotta find out if people are watching, because it says we're live. I'm going to share it with you. I don't see the number sign on the right hand side, so let's just see. I'm going to tag you. It says we're live. All right, I'm going to tag you right now. And let me just make sure we're live on Blog Talk Radio. We're live on Blog Talk Radio. All right, Doc, so we're just going to go ahead. And let me just see what's going on here. We're going to go ahead. I still don't see.
Yeah, we all.
Okay. All right. So let me go back to what we go back to. Tonight's topic, everybody, is does God put on us more than we can handle? In the African-American church experience, Doctor, I've heard it said more times than I care to recount, God's not going to put on you more than you can bear.
Well.
And we're going to parse that tonight. We're going to parse it. We're going to discuss it. We're going to determine if the Christian scriptures really say that.
Yeah, that's an interesting topic.
Yeah, I think it is.
Because there's no scripture that says that.
All right, it's the truth. So now let's slow this thing down a little bit. Let me get to my notes. Everybody, I'm recovered. I almost ended the show. I just didn't see the green light, and I still don't see it. But listen, we're here. We're gonna have a good time tonight, and we're gonna have a good show. God doesn't put on us more than we can bear, or more than we can handle.
Okay.
Does God put things on us? Because we could use the word put. We could use the word place. Again, as I have heard it, and it is within the lexicon, the religious lexicon of the African-American church experience. You like that? The religious lexicon of the African-American
church. That's a definitely religious lexicon.
Of the African-American church experience. And now for anyone who's watching right now, listening right now, who is not part of the African-American church experience, we are not excluding you one bit. Please understand that. That is my primary, though not my only context. That is the context in which I've heard it numerous times. Doctor, how about you?
Well, I mean, that's all I can go by, man. I mean, that's the only time when I've ever heard it. I've always heard it in an African-American congregation that God will not put more on you.
Put more on you.
You know, than you're able to bear. And I kind of get where they're coming from and what kind of what scripture they're trying to allude toward.
Thanks for logging on. Thanks for those who are logging on. Go ahead, Doc. I'm sorry.
You know, I kind of get what they're alluding toward, but, you know, but does God actually put things on us? I guess that's the, is that the question you're getting at? Did God put it on you?
Right, because, and I just wrote this in the chat. Hit us up in the chat. I had a technical issue or a perceived technical issue at the beginning of the show. So anybody who logged in at the beginning, my apologies again. We're live. We're here. If you want to call in to ask a question or talk to us, 657-383-0106, 657-383-0106. You know what happened, Doctor? The platform changed. So now in the right below the broadcast visual, it's showing the views. It doesn't show it in the right-hand corner anymore. It shows it right in underneath, right where I placed the comments. All right, so we're good. And then if you go to our page, it shows how many people are viewing. So thank you for logging on. See, and that's the key. Does God put things on us? And there is no perfect analogy. I'm going to offer this analogy. It's a very simple analogy. I was leaving the gym, Doctor, driving home. And I thought about it. You know, when I put on my clothes, there is an intentionality about that. I'm picking out my clothes. I'm trying to coordinate my outfit, if you will. And I'm very intentional about it. I'm engaged in it. It is purposeful. It is planned. There is an effort to do that. Put on. So if, you know, God doesn't put on us more than we can bear or more than we can handle. So we're saying that there's some things that God intentionally plans, engages in effort to make sure it's part of us.
Okay, so that brings another question up. How can we measure that? How can we measure that this is enough? You know, uncle.
I'm tapping out. I'm tapping out.
You know, because if that's the case, there's a whole lot of folks that are still tapping, and they still got that burden that they're bearing.
Talk, sir.
I don't know if it's God that put it on them or not, or have we ascribed our struggle to a God-given burden?
Doctor, I like that. I, you know what I think? And this is why, for me, Unchurched Live is so important, because it forces us to engage in critical thinking. All right, so as someone who just logged on, Damon McClure, are you repeating? If you hear feedback, my apologies. I don't hear any feedback. Doc, you hear any feedback?
No.
All right, so I don't know if we're repeating or not. So just let us know if you hear feedback. I think church in general, though there are some exceptions to the rule, does not teach us critical thinking with respect to our faith. Getting same words over and over, think something is wrong. Okay. I'm not sure. Thank you. I'm not sure how to correct that, because on our end, I'm not hearing any feedback. Let me just go to Facebook and see what's going on here.
With respect to our faith, getting same words over and over, think something is wrong.
Okay, I just tested the audio on Facebook, and it's good. You may want to check your internet speed, but we're just gonna keep moving forward. Thank you for letting us know, and thank you for watching. So, and I think it's a reflection of biblical ignorance. And let me define ignorance, lest anyone think I'm saying that anyone listening is unintelligent. Ignorant means not knowing. It doesn't mean unintelligent.
Okay.
I'm ignorant regarding how to diagnose cancer, because I'm not a doctor. See what I'm saying? But I believe that I'm an intelligent person. I think in this religious lexicon within the African American experience, God will not put on us more than we can bear. Dorothy Payne Latiti, how are you? God bless. Thank you for watching. I don't know where that came from, Doctor. I've heard it for years. And maybe it's a defense mechanism against the nervous breakdown. And I'm not trying to be funny. You know what I mean? Maybe it's a defense mechanism, a protective device against John Poole. How are you? Maybe it's a protective device. You see what I'm saying, sir?
Right.
God won't put on us. So let's ask and answer the question. Does God put stuff on? Does God put things on us?
Well, that's a good question to ask. I mean, because then if he does, then we've got to have something to really verify that the source of my struggle or the source of whatever it is that God has put on me or whatever it is that's on me, we got to be able to have something to kind of measure and say, hey, that came from God, or God is the one that's behind it. It's almost like what we said the other day when we said that sometimes people wrong things, you know, how our last topic was, why does bad things happen to good people? And we came up with one of those solutions is, oh, bad things happen to good people because the devil did it. But then I think sometimes that we give the devil way too much credit.
I agree.
You know, we give him way too much credit. And maybe it's something that I did that has caused me misfortune or something that I don't like, but my religious worldview kicks in and says, this particular misfortune is caused by the devil. So now let's flip that. So now, can my misfortune be caused by God?
I hope I pronounced it correctly.
Her name is Deborah.
Deborah. All right. So maybe that's her Facebook name. Deborah, thank you for watching. I've heard it more than just African-American. Interesting. Interesting. So I think the only thing that God puts on us is the calling. And that we have to accept.
Is the calling.
And when I say, and Doctor, thank you for restating what I said, because I need to break that down. That which God has placed us on the earth to do.
Okay.
Our calling.
Our calling.
God puts on us. And let me just say, the calling, quote unquote, does not necessarily have to be, as we've learned in the African American church experience, the call to preach and to pastor.
Right.
You see what I mean? I think being a teacher is a calling, being a doctor is a calling, being someone who is advocating for the poor, working for social justice, those are aspects of the calling. And I believe that God will put that on us. We've got to take it on.
Okay. All right. So
Stephanie Marie. Yes, Stephanie, Doctor, can you see that? Can you read that?
I can read it. The scripture verse can be found in 1 Corinthians 10, 12 through 13, where it mentions that God is faithful and he will not allow you, now watch this, to be tempted.
Right.
More than you can stand. But he will show you a way of escape or make a way that you can bear it.
Exactly.
And she said, this is a blended version of the King James and the New Living Translation, but that is more than likely where people have gotten afraid. I agree.
Oh, yes. And Stephanie Marie, you are all up in my notes. you must have some type of psychic eye, because that's toward the end of the show, and that's all right. We can get to it now. Both Dr. Gardner and I are flexible. Thank you so much for your continued support. Yes, and Deborah McLeod, Stephanie, that is how I always understood it. That's the scripture. So we've eisegeted.
Okay, explain eisegesis.
I'm gonna explain it, Doctor. We
explain it.
We
not explain. explain it.
I'm going to explain it. We have eisegeted that scripture. And what do I mean by that? We have read into that scripture that which we want it to mean.
Because the scripture clearly says that he will not allow you to be tempted.
That's it.
It has to do with temptation.
Has to do with temptation.
It has nothing to do with God putting something on you.
Right.
It means that you're tempted, but he will, because you're tempted, he makes a way out. He makes a way of escape for you so you can bear it.
Right. And so then what does it mean? I didn't do a study of the Greek, so, but I'm looking at it strictly from an English perspective, almost as if God will make a way of escape so that you won't fall into temptation.
Hello. I mean, make it plain.
You understand? Like an open door that you can walk through. Like, yo, let me, like Joseph.
I've heard testimonies of guys that said that they were planning on doing something wrong.
Yes, sir.
And all of a sudden they get a phone call.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's a way of escape.
And that was their way of escape.
Yes, sir.
That call came. They had already planned. They had already got themselves together. Everything was in line. Everything they had already purposed.
Right.
Come on, talk to me. All of a sudden, they get this call.
Right. The wrong has been planned. I have orchestrated. Hey, Doc. I've orchestrated the wrong. I have orchestrated it.
Yeah, it's been orchestrated, and then they get this call.
Baby, where you at? I'm on my way home.
Or this call will come and say, will you please pray for me?
Yes, sir.
Do you have a moment to pray? I've heard people talk about stuff like this, and all of a sudden they start praying, and what happens, they start feeling guilty about what they was about to do because God had rescued them. Now, that's a way of escape.
Yes.
But God didn't put that temptation on you.
No. So let me just take a quick station identification, show identification. You are watching some via Be Live TV and others are listening to Unchurched Live. It is a no-holds-barred spiritual conversation for the seeker and the skeptic. I'm here with my phenomenal co-host, Dr. Stephen E. Gardner. I'm your co-host, Finesse. The call-in number, if anybody wants to call in through Be Live TV or Be Live, should I say Blog Talk Radio, 657-383-0106, 657-383-0106. If you call in through BLive, I keep saying BLive, through Blog Talk Radio, press 1, you'll be added into the queue, and you can actually speak to us as well as other members of the listening audience on the air. Tonight's topic is, does God put on us more than we can handle? So now Deborah McLeod. Also, the put wasn't defined. McLeod wasn't defined as God doing it, more like allowing it. So I'm glad, Deborah, that you said that, because that's a good segue into our next point. I think one of the things that we've got to acknowledge is that God does allow some things to happen. What does that mean?
Okay, wait a minute.
I see Kathy Gardner. Apostle Paul was addressing the Corinthian church taking part in paganism.
Wow. Bam.
Bam, bam.
Now we got a scholar. We got a seminarian that chimed in. And so now she's made it contextual and stating that this temptation had to do with taking part in paganism.
Yes.
Wow.
See, and Kathy, I would say this, thank you for your comment. One of the things I said earlier is that I think there are parts of the African American church that suffers from biblical ignorance. And I define ignorance, as I understand it, meaning unknowing, not unintelligent. I am ignorant about how to diagnose cancer because I'm not a doctor. Yet I believe I'm an intelligent person. And I think, Kathy, that context is very, very important, because that helps us to understand what Paul was saying.
And it helps us understand what they were dealing with, what the church was dealing with at that time. Now, how do we, can I just add something?
Yes.
You know, when we look at scripture and we take this scripture that was designed to deal with, to help the church deal with the temptation of paganism at that time, how do we take the scriptural reference that God will not allow more upon you than you're able to bear in terms of temptation? How do we transport that into our present time? Now, watch this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you how to transport it.
Okay.
We believe in the authority of Scripture, which means that if you believe in the authority of Scripture, that if God had his involvement in their life in dealing with paganism, which was a temptation for them, the question is, or the statement is, God is involved in our life and whatever we're tempted with today.
Exactly.
So there was paganism. What's our ism? What's our ism?
You want me to answer that? Or you, matter of fact,
it's just an open question.
All right. So what I want to do is throw this out to the group. We have Deborah McLeod, Kathy Gardner, Stephanie Marie, others who are watching and listening. What are the isms that we're tempted by today? I want to throw that out. You could hit us up in the chat. Just go right on, right below the show on Facebook as you're viewing it, and you can type in, as some have, type in your comment. Let's take a stab at that. I think in general, overcoming temptation involves a couple of things. One, realizing what the temptation is. Two, having the strength to resist it. And you know what? Even easier than that, walk away from it.
Just say no.
You understand? Just say no. You know what I mean? If my temptation is chocolate chip cookies, I'm not going to fill up my house with chocolate chip cookies. That's a rather innocuous example, but I mean, we can extrapolate from there any number of other temptations. You understand what I'm saying? We gotta keep it real with ourselves regarding what our temptation is. See what I mean? Or temptations are, and stay away from them. See what I mean? Now, this paganism context, it speaks to a societal context.
Okay, what is this?
Yes. Put my glasses back on. Just D. Okay, all right. Just D. All right, so D McLeod. So D, I'm sorry. So I will refer to you as D. Our isms are whatever pull us away from Christ. This question requires a person look within, because only God and that person knows. I agree 100%.
Okay, our isms is whatever. So it's a capital W, whatever.
I like it.
Pull us away from Christ.
Exactly. So, Doctor, I want to deal with this thing here, because it's troubling, and yet we need to discuss it. I'll frame it as a question. Does God allow certain things to happen in our lives?
Are you asking me,
I'm putting it out there. I'm putting it out there because we want to dance around that, because to really deal with it, it raises some other questions. I'm not going to answer right now. I'll use myself as an example. I was separated from my former company that I had worked in for 5 months. Did God allow it? Yes. Was I upset about it? No. As a matter of fact, and then I'll get to the notes, because I don't see anybody commenting. That's okay. I'll get to the notes, because it was a dysfunctional, immoral company. I'm just saying, it was a soulless company, and the blessing within it, although I still have to work, and I found work, because I talked about that last week, is that I experience what financial freedom will feel like and look like in my life when I'm able to achieve it. See what I'm saying? But God allowed it.
So God allowed it. So
allowed.
Now, okay, so the question is, now I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Play it.
Okay?
Play it, sir.
All right? Without the horns, but I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Play devil's advocate.
How do you know God allowed that? How can you infer that God had something to do with your experience?
All right, and doctor, I like that. And listen to what doctor said. How do I know that God had something to do with it? My whole point is, in allowing it, God stepped back and let it happen.
Okay.
Because God is, listen, here's the theology, everybody. God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-wise. Yes? Yes.
Okay. So
and God could have intervened. God could have intervened. I never said it was God's will. I never said that. I am saying that God allowed it to happen.
I like that.
Yes,
you
sir.
You never said it was God.
I never said that.
You said that God allowed it.
Allowed it.
Because he could have intervened.
Yes, sir.
Okay, the question is, why would he intervene in the first place?
And this is good stuff, everybody. From a pragmatic perspective, I still need to work.
That's my question. Why would God intervene in the first place?
And my answer has to be practical. Because I need to work.
Having to work.
He who does not provide for his own household is worse than the infidel. And if we go,
where is that coming from?
That's coming from the scripture.
Okay,
and,
so the scripture has informed.
Yes, sir.
You know, has informed you. The authority of scripture has said this, that to be a good and faithful Christ follower, I need to get a job. I need to get out there and work.
Yes, sir.
And earn some money.
Yes, sir.
And so that's part of your faithfulness to God, because the scripture has informed you.
Yes, sir.
And it shaped your world.
Doctor, this is good.
This is good. Is worship. This is where I give God glory, and with my time and talents
and treasure. And let's look at Genesis, everybody. Let's think about Genesis, the first book of the Bible. What God, and if we take it literally or figuratively, and we can do a whole show about Genesis, God gave the original human beings the charge to work.
To work.
Now listen, because we can make this very simplistic, and I don't want to. Listen, and I'm going to tell everybody what I said. See, I can talk about myself all night long. Nobody's going to get offended. Doctor, viewing audience, listening audience. I said, God, listen to this now.
All right,
I'm going to flip it. So I said, God, deliver me from this situation.
Deliver me. Okay. So now, what I'm getting at
yes, sir.
Is this. To even ask God to deliver you means there's something in your background and something in your Christian training that has taught you to look to him.
Right. Oh, yes.
That will come, that sits high and looks low. That's up there, but will come down here.
So let me amend what I said. Because in retrospect, if I didn't expect to be delivered like I was, because I had been interviewing for a position since December, another position, while with this position. So maybe God did intervene, just not in the way in which I thought God would intervene.
And see, listen, audience, what we're dealing with here is understanding how your own theology operates and works in your life.
Exactly. Now, I prayed for deliverance.
He prayed for deliverance.
I didn't pray to be separated. Doc, I just want to jump in real fast. I didn't pray to be separated now, because I think for me that's impractical. That's violating the divine call, and I'm not trying to sound sexist, for a man to work to provide for his family. I prayed for deliverance, and I will tell you what I had in mind was for God to hasten my acceptance at the new company that I will be working for in March 19th. what God saw fit to do or allowed to be done was to allow me to be separated.
Okay.
Stephanie Marie, right, we are constantly growing from faith to faith. And growing from faith to faith, some experiences God has to allow, okay, to allow. So Stephanie Marie, I want you to define that, please. Now, I hear you. I agree with you. There are also experiences that we put ourselves in, and God can leave us in those situations so that we learn a lesson.
Hey, you know, I probably can relate to that latter one.
I've been left, hey, listen, like I said last week, what some of us think is our cross is really our crop.
It's a crop.
It's a crop. We planted those seeds. We watered those seeds. We put fertilizer on those seeds, and they grew up into something. And God had nothing to do with it other than letting us experience the natural and logical and sometimes spiritual consequences of what we've done. Yes, Stephanie Marie, I agree.
Yeah, and you know, I have to agree there too as well, that God does, you know, allow our experiences to, as you said, some of our experiences, and I agree with that too, to stretch us. You know, and we got loads of biblical examples and biblical characters where we see God's hand in their life. Can I just mention one?
Of course.
Okay. I'm speaking of Joseph. Joseph had some other brothers, and this guy, he was a dreamer, and he dreamed that one day he's going to be ruling over his brothers and so on and so forth, and boom, they got sick and tired of hearing his mouth talking about he's going to rule over us one day, and so his own family, his own brothers, sold him into slavery. What does that say, John Poole? You said 13 years. Right?
Russell Lagana, okay. I like the show. Hey, Russ, what's up, man? Thank you, sir. I got to shout out my co-host for our Urban Entrepreneur Show. And Russ, we're gonna be back on the air Tuesday. Urban Entrepreneurs is a no holds bar business conversation. Russell Lagana, thank you, sir. Tonight's topic. I just do a quick station identification. Does God put us on us more than we can handle? All right, Dr. Gardner, go ahead, sir.
Okay. So during this period of time, if Joseph had went through all these experiences and whatnot, and so the bottom line is that when it came to all that he went through, number one, he got sold into slavery by his brothers. Number two, he wound up working for Potiphar, and Potiphar's wife tried to get him all caught up, and he rejected her, you know, because it was another man's wife. And so she framed him by holding a part of his cloak and showing it to her husband. Then that threw him in prison. And so all of these bad things were happening to Joseph, but it wasn't until he interpreted the king's dream that somebody remembered that there was someone down there in prison that had a gift. Now that should tell somebody, don't let your troubles disturb your gifting. Now, I know that's a sermon, but you can go ahead and take that. Don't let what you're going through to trouble your gifting, because your gift will make way. And so what happens, so Joseph winds up as being second in command, and guess what? His brothers one day and their family they needed food. And so they came up to where Joseph was at, and they didn't even recognize Joseph, but Joseph recognized them. And so the story ended, you know, like this. It says, what was meant for evil, God intended for good. And that's a clear example of how that this domino experience of bad things happening, that God had a hand in it just to get Joseph to where he's at. And so his trouble turned into triumph, you know. And so I guess that's one way to really measure whether or not God was really in it or not, is what the outcome was, is what the outcome is. Does it turn into triumph or does it stay as trouble?
So what So in the Joseph story, and the Joseph story, everyone, is found in Genesis chapters 37 through 50, I believe, Doctor. So that which Joseph experienced, and we can review that at our leisure, he could handle it. He handled it.
He handled it.
He was, as they say in the hood, he was built for what he went through. He was built for the pasture. He was built for the prison. And he was also built for the palace. And that's a message in and of itself.
Yeah, I did it differently. I said he got pitted, potted, then he got putted.
I like that. Pitted, potted, and putted. So let's this is a good segue. Let's look at this.
Okay, what is Russell saying
now? I'm going to look at it right now. I think God puts things on us to make us grow. Too often we complain and run from the challenges and miss blessings and opportunities to bless others with the testimony of our triumphs and experiences. I like that.
With our triumphs. Somebody needs to know how you got to where you're at. Somebody needs to know the pathway to triumph.
Exactly. You see the
pathway to
right.
triumph.
I heard a pastor say, you see the glory, but you don't know the story.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, particularly, Russell, as we talk about entrepreneurship, an entrepreneurship show is every other Tuesday night at 9 p.m., same time, different day. People demonstrate their wealth, their entrepreneurial success. They don't oftentimes tell the story. Or they tell it in very grandiose ways that are almost mystical and magical. And I'd like people to demystify. I'm at the stage in my life, demystify. And then I'll take it out of entrepreneurship and I'll put it into spirituality. You know, I've heard people, doctor, say, you know, I was unemployed for 8 weeks and I ate every day and paid the mortgage and paid the car note and this and that. And God provided. So I want to know how. You know, educate a brother. Look, I want to know how did God provide. And I'm just being honest with everybody because I believe in making things very practical. God has provided for me over the past few weeks. And Kathy, I'm going to read your comment in just 1 second. And you know how he did? Because I got two paychecks and my car allowance, and that is acting as a declining balance. And at the same time, as the balance in my checking account declined, I got a call from the position that I was originally rejected for. And there's a whole story behind that, which I'll spare us for the moment, simply to say that I got the job. And by the time I start, as long as I manage my money well, that balance may run low, but it's not going to run out. See, that's the how.
You touch bottom and then you begin to do voyage. So you start
yes,
to
sir.
Come back.
Yes, sir. That's the how. See,
that's the how.
So in this, God did not put on me more than I can bear. All right, Kathy Garden, from personal challenges, whether by my choices or outside my control, my request has been to God, teach me through this experience and may my faith not fail. Amen. Mm-hmm. I've never asked God for a way of escape, but to strengthen my faith in the knowledge of him. Lord, have mercy. Yes, sir. We got some theology up in here tonight. So now here's the thing. More than we can handle. I think, Dr. Gardner, I think, and if you see me looking down, and for those who are just tuning in or who have not tuned in before, I'm managing the chat. I'm managing Blog Talk Radio, Be Live, and Facebook simultaneously. I am paying attention. I think, Unchurched Live audience, we've got to acknowledge, we may not want to, that which God either allows, puts on us, etc., for some it is too much for them to handle because they fall away from the faith. You and I keep it real, men. So I'm not saying for you to keep it real because you've always kept it real from the moment I met you almost 4 years ago. Audience, let's keep it real. There's some people who fall away from the faith, stop going to church, stop praying, and let some people have nervous breakdowns, anxiety attacks, stress attacks because of what God, quote unquote, put on them. It's a fact. I know some people for whom their faith, unlike Kathy Gardner, thank God for a strong faith, whose faith failed, and you know what? Didn't recover.
So the question would be, all right, I got two questions, but I'm going to deal with this one first. The question would be, why did they not recover?
Okay. Stephanie Marie, without God, life is too much to handle. He is the way of escape.
Well, she's being a prophetess tonight. She's just reading right into what Andre thinks.
Go ahead, Doctor.
You know, that's the point. I'm not saying this to try to put the person down whose faith failed. I think we all have been at a point to where our faith was failing. Have we not?
Agreed. Look at Peter. Peter on the water. The minute he took his eyes off of Jesus, he started to sink.
Okay. So he was at, and yet his failure was so remarkable that the writer chose to put it in sacred literature that we can read it. My point is, even a person's failure is a way to inform us so that we don't have to, so that the other person doesn't have to fail. I failed. So let me